may be seated. God bless you, all of you. I just have two quick announcements. Next Saturday night, evening, is prayer meeting time for the Sunday communion. Next Sunday we'll have communion. So remember these things in prayer. The Lord will just guide us and lead us. And keep on praying for the prayer requests that we heard this morning during the week. The Lord's willing, Wednesday, I'd like to speak about, it will be a service, but our responsibility in this church will be related to the holiness and standard of holiness. It will become hard service. Things have to be said. We have to go on with God. We cannot go backwards. That's all I can say. And go regardless of what it is, the scriptures, you're obligated to say what God asks you to minister. Lately, I have been studying the last few months mostly about the end. The scripture has to say lots of things about the last days. And I know there's a number of books that have been written. And the one probably some of you young people might have read it, and Left Behind, this author wrote 6 books. And all of it deal about something is ahead of the world. And we know that very good. There's no doubt about that. That we're at the end and there's nothing left. There's no going back now. We are going too far and we're finished. That's all. And the greatest thing is an individual relation with the Lord. If you lose that, you lost it all. You say, Brother David, what you mean with that? Regardless of when we get together and assemble ourselves and we pray and we have prayer requests, the scriptures do that in Hebrews 10. Don't forsake to assemble yourselves together. But the scripture teaches very strongly that we have to have an individual relation with the Lord. You don't have to call me or a deacon or anything like that to pray, but kneeling in your bed and say, Lord, just help me to go on and keep that, maintain that life between you and the Lord, because nobody can do it but the Holy Spirit in you. And when you start seeing the condition of the world today, there's a scripture that came to my mind that it's found in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Now, Timothy was always a favorite follower of Paul. And you know, I think I have mentioned before, Paul said, I have 1 Timothy left. You remember that 1 Timothy? And you say, Brother David, what's Timothy? Timothy comes from the 2 compound words, the Greek word, timi, who means honor, and theos is God. And his name means the man that honors God. And he was a humble man. He served them in the ministry. And he was a minister of the gospel. But he was taking instructions, and Paul tried to help him. Some time ago, Brother Herb said to me, Brother David, if a person comes to the point that doesn't take correction, it's time to leave him alone. Because he closed his mind, there's nothing you can do. You stay away from there, because the only thing you do, you aggravate yourself. That's all. Now, Timothy here was getting some instructions from Paul. And Paul said to him, I charge thee be therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort in all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. When you look at this portion of scripture, the first thing you say, that's strong language. Because he says, I charge thee before, therefore before God. I study that word charged, and sometimes I feel bad to bring quotes from manuscripts or definitions of Greek words. I have rather not to do it. But sometimes when you hide truth and so simple, might as well say it. Am I right? There's nothing against it. Paul here, instead of charge thee, he says the amartirome. What does it mean, the amartirome? Means in King James, of course, have it, I charge thee, to appear to or to call on gods and men to witness the wrong or injury one suffers, to complain of a false accusation. Call on and appeal to witness and protest against it. Of course, there was an Athenian judicial proceedings there. To protest against the charge, to call witnesses, to prove the grounds of such protest. Now, Paul stands before God there, and he says, Adiamartirome, I want to stand against. Just remember, Timothy, we're standing, you and I, before God. And if you know what this means, in that great day of judgment, Timothy, you and I are going to stand before God. What I'm telling you is just so. Paul wasn't using the Lord's name in vain. He knew the law. Very, very good. And he stood there. He said to Timothy, now, I charge thee in the King James. With other words, what I'm saying, it's not between me and you, but it's between me and God and you. What I'm telling you is the truth. And he tells him first, the first two verses, what to do. But on the third verse, he predicts the time. He said to him, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. If that time is not now, I don't know when it is. The people will not endure sound doctrine. Give them something to laugh. Give them something to feel good. Give them something to shout. And who cares about the scriptures? The scriptures are serious business. Because when we're going to stand in that day, you're shouting, you're screaming, you're laughing, you're clapping. It has nothing to do with judgment day. The book is going to open and look at you and say you are good or you are bad. That's what it is. And it's not something that you pass a grade because of you didn't make an A, you make a B or a C and you still have a passing grade instead of an F. The test that God gives there is true and false. And he says there's only two grades for me, pass or fail. There's no makeup test with God. You know that? You fail the test or you pass the test. And God now gives the first thing that he tells Timothy there through Paul. God is going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What is the quick? It's not something that moves fast, but the quick here that Paul is speaking about, when you look at the word quick, means the ones that are zoe, who means the ones that they are living. Right away tells you something. That when the Lord will come, will be some that they are living, some of them will be dead. But Jesus is going to judge both groups. Do you know that? You say, a man said one time, he said, Brother David, all the bride will die and then Jesus comes. I said, I beg your pardon. The resurrection has two faces. Number one, the dead in Christ shall rise first, in 1 Corinthians 15. And we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will meet with them up in the air to meet the Lord. That's what the scripture says. So really, he speaks about the quick, that means the one that's still moving, and the dead at his appearing, his kingdom, at his kingdom, in his kingdom, I'm sorry. Now, he says, God is going to judge me and you. He says, God, I'm not going to escape from the judgment, and I'm going to stand before God, and probably if I treat that chapter in a better way, you'll find in a few verses later that Paul says, I finished my course. I fought the faith. There's nothing left but the crown of glory. He speaks about the crown of glory. He finished the course. It's like he make his will. Do this, because that's my will. God speaks to you, Timothy, do that. And he starts on the second verse. In number one, he says, preach the word. Now, preaching the word is not just throwing words in the air, but everything you say, it has to agree with the scriptures. It's not my grandmother was at the railroads and God felt sorry for her and God saved her from the train hitting her. That's fine. But we're talking about scriptures right now. We are not talking about guessing or wasting time with nonsense. He said to him, preach the word, not the words. There's only one word. That's the word of God, the scriptures. And that's what I want you to do, Timothy. Not everything else, but what the scripture says. Not the apostles' creed, not the apostles' opinion, not anything else. But just what the scripture tells you, that's what you're supposed to preach. I like when somebody tells me that, you know. I like when somebody comes with a doctrine and says, I believe this, I believe that. And you ask them, what did you see in the scriptures? And if you look at the scriptures, it's not there, you throw it away. Because the man has no foundation. And if it's in the scriptures, you look it over and you say, God, reveal to me what you try to tell me. And now in this scripture, he said to them, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, be ready at all times. Because in the third verse, you see the time will come we'll have problems ahead of us. And now he starts, the first thing you do, you reprove. You say, Brother David, what does it mean to reprove? Reprove comes from the word Elenchos, who means to convict. Elenchos is also the customs, like I mentioned. The same word, you go through the customs, they open your suitcase and say, this is illegal. You can't take it through. And he says, just bring the conviction, Timothy, to them and tell them what you're doing. It's not God. That's a tremendous responsibility, isn't it? Don't compromise with anybody. A true child of God will get beat up by the word of God, and the more they get beat up, the more they love it. A hybrid child says, don't bother me. Nobody can tell me what to do. But when God's word tells you and me, I'm not excluding myself, you and me to do something and we don't do it, we're going to pay for it. We're not going to escape for nothing. And he says, I want you to produce conviction and to generate a shame. That's what the word Elenchos means. That conviction to go to their souls so they can't stand it. They have to do things right. You know, sometimes in the services, I was told by a group of ministers that you say something, but don't say anything offensive to anybody. That doesn't correct anything. It has to convict sin. It has to convict me and you. And if it doesn't convict, everything is in vain. You know? I was always taught in my life some of the greatest institutions that produced the most well-known preachers. It's such a beautiful place until I started working at Princeton for some of my work. And when I look at the students and I work a little bit, get to know the students back and forth, the first thing you say, these people need to get saved, period. These people know, they don't know God. The only thing they know, why to say things from the scripture without offending anybody to maintain a position. That's all the bottom line of it. And he says, Paul says, now I want you to elenchō, I want you to reprove, I want you to get in it. Why? Because in John you read, that's the function of the Holy Spirit. He'll reprove the world of sin. And if he doesn't reprove us to correct us and bring us closer to God, then it's everything in vain, friends. We are stagnant. We are dead and don't even know it. It has to do something in me and tell me, David Mamelis, you are no good until you do these things right. This is it. I like that, don't you? I have rather say I'm wrong and face the reproach of saying I'm wrong instead of flatter myself and deceive myself. It's a beautiful thing to know that what God permits us sometimes in our lives is for our good, and we take it as a condemnation. It's good sometimes God puts you in the circumstances not to put you in a position that you don't know what to do, but to test yourself. The scripture says, examine thyself. And then when you see who you are, start taking steps closer to correct it. How do you do that? Abstain from the things of the world and the world. The radio station that you look, get rid of it. Or you listen, get rid of it. With all their corruption and the talk shows and everything, it doesn't build you with the Lord. Read the scripture. Study some things and say, Lord, I want to get closer to you. What does it take? Number one is to stop the hindrances. Number two is do the internal correction. The internal correction is pray, study the word, listen to tape sermons. That's how we build ourselves. On the other side, no matter how much you're going to try to do that, if you're out and you expose yourself to environments and you cannot get rid of the environment, you say, on one side I'm building, the other side this guy's destroying me. I better get rid of these guys. I don't care if it's my mama, my papa, my cousin, my nephew, my brother, my sister. Listen, nothing should stand between you and the Lord, period. Well, be compromisers. We don't like to admit it, but, you don't have to laugh with their jokes. Keep silence and let them feel ashamed that they say it. You don't like that way, but that's the way to do it sometimes. If they don't find a response, they look at you. What are you anyway? And they're more ashamed of themselves that said the joke than you that listen it. There's a lot to think about it right there. After you, Timothy, follow what I'm telling you, the next step is to rebuke. Rebuke. What's rebuke? Epitimosen. Who means to pronounce a sentence. Who? Can you tell somebody because you steal and you cheat, you go to hell, period? Oh, no, don't say that. Let's have a nice service. Let's love everybody. Under the game of love, there are many people dying spiritually now. Paul says here to Timothy, pronounce a sentence. Call, confirm a former sentence. Brother Dave, how do you do that? When the word is preached, it tells you two things, to get things right with God, or it tells you to go to hell. The definition of that word, epitimosen, means to confirm a former sentence. How is it? Go back to Korah and says, look what Korah have done, and God make a big hole in the ground and took them under. The same thing will happen to you. Oh, let's don't preach about that. Let's preach only about love. You never go nowhere because pure love is corrective. Pure love is dealing with the Word of God. Pure love is dealing with what the Scripture have to say. God now says, rebuke, epitimesis, do things right. Then exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I like that statement to read, parakaleson, plead with them. Plead with them. Get right with God, please. And passing macrothymia. Macrothymia is, he says, extend your anger. Don't blow up. Be patient on your anger. The scripture is so beautiful, isn't it? Extend your anger. Stand still. And didache and teaching. King James reads it. Exhort with all suffering and doctrine. The original parakaleson, plead with them. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Get right with God. And pass macrothymia, thymosis anger. Macron is extend your anger. Don't blow your stack. Don't say that I give up now. But just be patient. You know, God had lots of patience with me and with you. You know what I'm saying? He got a lots of patience with Paul, chasing his loved ones, you know. You see, you can say a lot of things, but when you touch God's chosen ones, God looks with that great pain. And Paul did it. But it was a chosen vessel. Go ahead, Paul. You look at chasing them around, scare them to death, try to kill them. But I'm looking the long run. I'm looking, number one, that you cannot touch their souls. And number two, you're going to be around, Paul. You know why? Because you are a chosen vessel. What kind of a choice you had? If you and I had to call a man to represent the Gentile dispensation, remember, not only the Ephesian churches, the whole dispensation, we wouldn't pick up Paul because he was a mean man. Let's pick up a guy from Stanford, Oxford, or somebody that's nice, a man, has the beautiful smile of a cardinal or something. But God picked up who? That man down there. He says, you're a chosen vessel. What kind of a chosen vessel when he was totally dirty and filthy? And Paul, regardless of what the light was, regardless on the road to Damascus, he had a backbone. He says, Lord, he recognized that was the Jehovah of the Old Testament. He says, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus. All of a sudden, he realized that the Jehovah of the Old and Jesus are one God only. And went on with that. He says, exhort. Plead with them. Parakaleson. Pasmacrothymia is macron, is long, length. Length your anger. Don't blow up to pieces. The final thing, he says, not a doctoring, but didahi. I define one time, I think, what's didahi? That's teaching. That's not doctoring, didahi is teaching. Remember, many places you like to be the masters of doctoring, but like I said before, the University of Jesus Christ has no graduates. All of us who are learning every day and don't keep on learning. What is, did he say? Vivo en asco. I give and I practice. It's like the coach. One, two, one, two, the coach says. The student says, one, two. What he's saying, one, two, he's practicing at the same time. He says, you keep on practicing so they can see in you Jesus Christ. How beautiful it is. The Word of God is so rich. You know, you are reading the epistle. The people look somebody to say that, I want to be like him. You know, Sister Sylvia had a birthday. And I was invited to go there, so I went there. You know, I shouldn't be eating cakes and stuff like that, but I went there anyway. I went there, how are you, Sylvia? Good, you know. Sylvia's a good girl. You know, I have respect for her, you know. And on the conversation, I was sitting there on the couch, and I let them talk. The kids laugh. And one side was Matthew. The other side was Joseph and all these guys down there, and they had a good time. And one of the young people said, when I grow up, I want to be like Lisa. They said that. But you know what I said to myself? They're seeing something. I'm not praising man right now. They're seeing something in Lisa, probably. You follow me? They're seeing something. The only thing they can see, the external person, the external body, I want to be like her. But there's something in us that makes us to be a written epistle to all men. There is something in us that makes us to be a teaching professors to the sinners. They're supposed to look at us and read Jesus Christ. I got to move. My time is running. For the time will come. There is a time coming to the church when men will not hear the simple and practical truths of the gospel. They twist it around so much they confuse it. The person doesn't even know where he belongs anymore. Have you ever just been by yourself and read a simple epistle or open your Bible and read something. And it's so precious to you. Nobody to confuse you. Am I right? Nobody to mess it up there. You say, Lord, thank you. You don't feel like reading. You don't feel like somebody's around you and looking at you, but you read that portion of Scripture. And you raise your hand and you cry. You say, Lord, you love me. I know that. You have a contact with Him. You have a contact with His Word. Men will prefer speculative opinions which either do good to the soul or corrupt and destroy it. You know, men's opinion can be always dangerous. The thing you do, ask them, what do you see that in the Scriptures? Where is it? Tell me. And if they try to pawn you something and you feel somebody's taking your head and sticking it right in the Bible, do you see? Do you see it? And hitting you to believe it. Remember, it's not God. God wants such simplicity. He's going to talk to you in such a simple way. I said, give me time. I'll pray about it. That's the right way, isn't it? Not because somebody interprets something, I'm going to grab it and eat it. You know? I'm not going to do that. I got to wait on the Lord to reveal it to me. I cannot be yes to Him that says this, and the same thing, he says yes, and it's the opposite. I mean, what do you do anyway? That way you don't reject anything if it's truth. You say, I don't have the revelation. People said to me, Brother David, this and this and that, and I want to see you. I said, I'm sorry, I don't want to see you. He says, what? I said, I don't want to see you. Why do I aggravate myself with everybody's brainstorm? Tell me. I don't have to put up with that stuff. You know, the Scripture is supposed to be the final thing. But it says, after their own desires, personal interests, but to learn to be crucified with Christ to the world, the things of the world, they know nothing about it. That separation between the world and us, they know nothing about it. They look at you like no other people. You know what this, you know what that, you know what this. I read an excellent article by Billy Graham. I think it was in the Saturday's paper. It was a teacher that says, I'm a coach also and I want to be a Christian. And I know the young people have no direction. And he says, they don't allow us to pray. They restrict us. They do this and that. And Billy Graham wrote a beautiful article there in the Saturday's paper. He says, let your life shine and keep on praying for them. Right? Believe in the power of prayer. The people will see you and will say, I want to be like the coach. I want to be like Lisa or something. I'm sorry to praise anybody. I just illustrate. That's all I'm doing. Why? Because we are reading epistles. These people have itching ears. They like to hear, but they cannot hear. You know, the sound goes to the ear and never goes to the heart. The heart is empty. It's a rejection from the heart because the heart is not in touch with God. So if you say something, make me feel good, laugh and say amen, praise the Lord, as long as I like it, I'm okay. But that's not okay. When repentance takes place, my friend, it's one of the most painful experiences. Quit shouting and repent. That's what it is. And what happened? The people want to feel good. Itching ears. Knithomeni. Knitho, what does it mean? Very simple illustration. I remember my brother when he was sleeping, and I used to hide on the floor. He was sleeping on the bed. And I used to take a little feather, and when he was sleeping, I used to take the feather and try to twist it around his ear, and he hit, there was a fly. And I wait for a while. I used to go back and twist it again. Until finally, he wakes up and you see me doing that, he gets up for a fight. I was a mean boy. But you know what happened? His ear was itching. His ear was itching. There was a fly, hit it first. Couple, three times, and after I did it, he didn't have enough sense to let him go, but it was continuing. until he wakes up and the trouble starts. But you know, we cannot have itching ears to make us feel good with a bunch of jokes. It's time for the end. It's time for judgment. It's time for me and you to know how God looks at us instead of looking circumstances, instead of looking people. Stop it and start looking to yourself and says, Lord, I don't want itching ears. I have an old man that I'm praying for him. He called me yesterday. He said, Brother David, don't forget to pray for me. I said, I pray for you. He said, I'm praying for you every day. I said, thank you. He said, I have one prayer request. Lord, make me pay any price as long as I get there. That says it all. Am I right? To say that from your heart, you surrender health, you surrender everything you can imagine to get you straight up. Everything. Itching ears, scratching ears. I charge you therefore before God, who shall judge the quick and the dead. This is the Lord Jesus. Who is the judge? Matthew 25:31 tells you that Christ is the judge of everything. We are judged by the word, and Christ is the word. The word quick means living. Acts 10:42, Ephesians 2:1. The idea is that he will be alike, the same judge to all, the ones that are alive and the ones that are dead. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Now he starts at the end. But after their own lives shall keep to themselves teachers. Remember this. The condition sometimes of the ministry, because they are too liberal, is because the people want them like that. You know? Anything that hurts us from the Word of God is defeating pride. You know that? All of us, you want to be humble, but sometimes you are proud to be humble. And that proud to be humble must die. Well, look what God says. The God teachers have their own ways. The people will not be content with the leading of one teacher. That is the Holy Spirit, you know that? Revealing His Word. That's the only teacher. Did he say that in the Word or not? What did He say in the Word is this, in John 14:6, we read this. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. What He says also in John 16:13, I'll be when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you unto all truth. The only thing we do with a ministry, we have to have the Holy Spirit to lead us unto all truth. Sometimes people will use truth as an escape. Listen to this. They want to go into deep mysteries. Tell me about the seven seals. Tell me about the seven church ages. I remember I was in Melbourne, Australia. He came over, he said to me, Brother David, I said, what? He said to me, I drove such and such miles, I don't know what. I came here and I was expecting to hear from you the things that there are mysteries and they are not written in the Bible anymore. I said, Brother, you came to the wrong place. I said, I've never finished from what's written, so I can't go any farther. And I look at the poor man, and he needed the Lord. He didn't even know it. He wanted the things that are not written. He wanted the revelations that's beyond everybody. I said, I don't have them. Don't let the deep revelations steal you from the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. The simple gospel, nobody has ever been able to figure it out, authors and everybody else. The mystery of being able to kneel down and raise your hand and talk to Him. Nobody can figure this out. The regular person, the sinner, will look at you and scratch their head. What's the matter with him? He's talking to somebody. They don't understand that. But a Christian has that secret. In closing, they like confusion, the people. You know that? It says here they're going to take teachers with itching ears. The Holy Spirit is not the leader anymore. This is the type of confusion of many voices to make up to itch the ears today. But we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost. I'm closing in a second. It's a great privilege to read Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You ask, give me the definition of the pastor. That's the only thing I can give you right here. It's a curse upon the people when they are left to teach teachers of their own hearts. They don't know what they are doing. Having itching ears, always desirous of many things, new church program, new understanding, new preacher, and all these things, but nothing inside. You know, the gospel never changed. If you know anything about church literature, there's a book that I got. Brother Herb took it from me for a month. I checked him out a book for a month. So I said, Herb, not this communion, next communion service, you bring the book. Because the books have wings, you know. They fly and never come back. You know, that's the books. It's a great man. Has been used very strongly by many groups, full gospel groups, Baptist groups. That's Mr. Barnes. Barnes wrote a number of commentaries on the 1840s. He was a deep man. And I was studying and I was reading again, going on. All of a sudden I said, I'm wondering what Barnes have to say about it. And I xeroxed the page from an old book, 1840. He says that there will be always religious teachers of some kind, and that in proportion of as error and sin abound. The more sin you got, the more error teachers you get, he says. They will be multiplied. The apostle here says that by turning away from Timothy and from sound instruction, they will not abandon all religious teachers, but will rather increase and multiply them. Then he said something that if you write it today in a book, you never sell it. The cheapest, and has it in italics to make an emphasis, the cheapest ministry on earth is as well, it's a well-educated Protestant clergy. Nothing left. Barnes cutting throats. And if society wishes to free itself from the swarms of preachers and prophets and exhorters, it should secure the regular services as an educated and a pews ministry. In other words, a degree without a revelation means nothing. In this article, he uses words that there's not in Webster. It's not in Oxford at the time, should I say. Men often declare much against the regular ministry. He says, you know how he calls them? Priestcraft. He calls them witches. I said, Lord, this is the gospel, is not something new. And you go to any group today. I remember when I was with that board of directors of the Baptist Convention. Oh, he said to me, you read Barnes. He said, I do too. And you know what? You take the original, now they have revised it. Oh, don't offend anybody. And I'll tell you in a second how they do it. They'll take an original copy of a book. They'll have a committee. The committee says, where is the money? They'll think about everybody. They'll take social studies. Because remember, they have to revise it to make the sale. The old text is gone. You don't have the real thing anymore. And after they define what they have to say and not to say, then they will start writing the book to make everybody happy. I experienced that one time. The man is dead now, Dr. Deaver, head of the Educational Research and Services. We were in Denver together writing a proposal for Califano, the Secretary of Education in Washington. And he said to me, David, you know how you do it? I said, no, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm learning, I said. He says, you'll make 4 copies of this proposal. It's a thick proposal. Each one of them, if they ask something, we can do it. I said, Dr. Deaver, what about if we cannot do it? He says, regardless of what it is, we give that to Washington. They don't know the difference. We do it. Everything they say that might be the opposite, we're not going to do it. And we had a fail pen, one green and the other one red. Everything that's green, mark green. Red, red. Everybody agrees to green and red. Finally, he says, let's read all the green together and reject the red. We start reading the green. By the time we finish, everything was in our hearts. We are the ones and nobody in the world who can do it. It was from the Bureau of Educational Research and Services. It was for education for the Indians. I said, Dr. Deaver, we have no Indians. What are we going to do? He said, don't worry about it. And she's going to go phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. We want to phase 1 first. He said, you know what we're going to do? I said, what? So we're going to get a car and hire a student to go out and look for Indians. Where would you look for Indians? He said, once the government starts with phase 1, they cannot back up. Because the money for that proposal is finished. So if they continue on, they say correct this, correct that, tell them yes, and go on. That's what we're talking about, Dr. Deaver. We had 2 cars, new cars, looking for Indians. $250,000. We were able to get about 5 students. That's all. You go to the reservation, they look at you. Finally, we were able to get the students to come to school. These kids didn't care for anybody. They got plenty of money. The grant is there. They eat, they sleep, they go to the cafeteria. At night, where is the guys? Are they standing? No, it's at the student union, at the basement, playing pool. You know, that's how the proposal went. When you see the condition that we are today, sometimes we write and we read the Bible the way we want to. We like to take promises that apply to everybody, but we don't like to read the circumstances or the conditions of those promises. There's conditions of promises, friends. God, everything He promised, He's going to fulfill it, period. He promised it. We have to do it. God will keep us. We fail. Get up and get going again. Read both. Don't read only the green, but read the red also. Many places in the scriptures, if you do this, then I will do this. He says, Lord, I don't want to read the first part if you do this. He says, you do this, Lord, because you said you're going to do it. But he says, if you do this, then I'll do that. The gospel is beautiful. Think of that word that we just mentioned, makrothymia, and makros is extended. Thymos is anger. Prolong your anger. Don't blow up. Don't be embarrassed to say, I'm sorry. You can ask an apology from a little boy 5 years old. You are never a great man to humble yourself and apologize. I just pray you got something this morning from the Word of God. Let's stand. Let's sing that chorus, "Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart." I'd like to ask Brother Gordon to close in a word of prayer. Search me, O God. Amen. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from everything and yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Our light would shine, Lord. The world would see us as different people, oh God. And we would stand for righteousness and walk in thy spirit, not after the flesh, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord Jesus, this morning. Help us to prepare and be ready for your return, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Show others the way to Jesus Christ, oh God.